Turn in your Bibles to that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 this morning. I'm going to zero in on the verses there of chapter 7 and verse 10 and 11 for the message this morning. Let me read those again, and you can be looking at those while the message is being preached. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point you have proved yourself to be innocent in this matter. Well, over a number of years and thousands of hours of counseling now, I have come to see a thread through people who are coming in for counseling, and it has troubled me for a long time. And as that many people would come in with this problem, I wanted to address all of us, including myself, in this whole area of repentance. Where is your repentance? Time after time, we send forms out for people to send back to us before we counsel them so that we can get to know who they are, what their problems are, and what they've tried to do to solve their problems before coming to us. And in the questions on whether they are believers or not, they answer the questions of whether they're a believer, and the question also is if they believe they're a believer, why do they believe they are? And time after time after time, people write that I have asked God to forgive me and I've repented of my sin. Well, a big question mark goes up in my mind when they say that, when they come in and I start asking them how are their personal devotions, and they say, what's that? How often do you pray with your wife? Well, never. Do you have family time together? No. Sometimes people say, well, my devotions is listening to the radio station on the way to work and on the way home. But Bible reading is very little, or some of them even say they're not sure where their Bible is at home at the moment. And yet they believe they're believers, have been for 20 years, because they've asked Jesus into their life and they've repented of their sin. And someone said, when you ask Jesus into your life, your sins are forgiven for past, present, and future. Well, if somebody believes that statement, then why get serious about reading the Scripture? Why get serious about any new sins you might have? If God has supposedly forgiven you for everything, then Their practical lives are saying that we can do about anything we want. God has saved us from the future. But that's not what the Bible teaches. To ask someone of what biblical genuine forgiveness is, it is to be convicted in your heart that you have sinned, you were wrong, and you will make a plan to change. This brings us to the main thrust of this message from Scripture. Where is your repentance? And first of all, we need to see what repentance is not. It is not saying, I'm sorry. It is not apologizing. It is not ignoring. I may have told this about this person before, but it brings the point home. Pastor John and I had met with a guy a few years ago who wanted to learn more about the Lord, made a profession of faith, was baptized, was bringing his family to church, was seemingly growing, and then all of a sudden we saw that he stopped coming to Sunday school, and then his attendance at church started dwindling off, and Pastor John and I called him, and he said, well, I need to come in and talk to you. Okay, he came in. And he says, I have a problem, and that's why I've been not coming in, been coming to the services. in that I have stolen things. He was a carpet layer. He said, I have stolen tools from my boss. I've stolen a ladder from my boss. I've taken carpet that was left over on a job that the boss didn't know that he over-ordered, and so I just took it home and saved it till somebody needed some carpet. Then I sold it to him and also got money for the labor of putting it in. So we said, well, why don't you take those things back? Where's the ladder? It's hanging on the back of my house. Then why don't you put it in your truck and take it back to work in the morning and tell your boss about it? Where are the carpet tools? Well, some of them are in my toolbox and others have wore out over the years, 15 years that he worked there. And so he said, I'm not sure, you know, how much in tools that I have used of his over the years without paying for them. Well, take them back. Take what you do have back and explain to him what you have done and ask him to tell you what you need to do to make restitution. And as far as the carpet that you've taken and put in and sold, you need to tell him. He's almost like the rich young ruler that you read about in Scripture. As we pointed out, what he needed to do for true biblical repentance, he went away sad. He quit going to church. He never went back and made restitution. And as far as we know, he never did turn back to the Lord. Repentance is not doing something nice for somebody. How many people, when they have offended someone or sinned against them, will, instead of going and seeking forgiveness and to repent, they simply try to do nice things, bring flowers home, a box of candy, try to do something nice for them, hoping to make up for what they did. That is not repentance. Saying, I will try. I said that for a number of years until Janet cornered me into where I couldn't move and had to have a plan of change. To say I will try isn't repentance. If we say we're going to try, we're leaving the back door open because, well, I tried, it just didn't happen. Or even to ask forgiveness is not repentance. In other words, it is not penance that God is looking for. It is not this satisfaction as so imposed by someone or yourself, such as a recital of certain prayers, as reading certain scriptures, or any other work to satisfy someone or self or God other than true biblical repentance. This is only penance. Penance is an effort to atone for your own sin. And that is what Christ came to do. That's what we just sang in that hymn of the month today. Christ came to pay that price. We can't do it. It's Christ that satisfied God's wrath. We cannot do anything on our own to make up for what our sins have done, but only take them to the Lord and then to repent. You see, all of this to this point is worldly sorrow. And if we go back to 10 and 11 here in the Scriptures, let's read that again. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation, that leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings to death. If your repentance looks like the things that I've just talked about, then it is worldly sorrow, and you cannot have any hope in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll get on to the reason why. You may ask then, well, what is true biblical repentance? It is seeing your sin as it really is, a sin against man and God, a genuine change of heart that agrees with God. It is a change of your heart. A biblical heart is your mind, your emotions, and your will. When you are born again, God gives you a new heart, a biblical heart, and that is your mind is renewed, your emotions are renewed, and your will is changed now to do the will of the one who sent our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given you a will now to do that which will be pleasing unto the Lord. He's given you a will by which you can repent of your sins. We are now to have God's thoughts after Him, to have emotions so stirred up to see your sin before a holy God as He could not even look upon His Son who was carrying your sin to the cross. He has given you a changed will now to do that will. Romans 2:4 says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance?" What God is looking for is true repentance, true sorrow over your sin, a conscience-pricking remorse, because that conviction comes from Him. It comes from the Holy Spirit. True biblical repentance is to feel such regret or dissatisfaction over some past sin or action or intention that you're willing to do something about it. It is a full realization over one's sin or wrongs, and now you have a will to change, because it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives within me. It all boils down to what the first two messages I preached. One, on what is your motive for what you're doing. Secondly, where's your identity? Are you in Jesus Christ? Because it's Christ in you that's repenting. It's the new nature, the one that has been you've been given by the Holy Spirit is the one who repents. The old man, the old flesh, cannot do so. True biblical repentance is not just to do something enough to get someone off your back. And I've been guilty of that in the past. To do just enough to please my wife to where maybe we can go on instead of really dealing with it. I've been spending a week in repentance this week. I left my wife in California so that I could do the honey-do list that I have been promising her for 10 years. New wood floors in the kitchen and the halls, ceramic tile in the bathrooms, painting the cabinets. I cheated a little, though. I hired one of my old employees to help me do it and hired my family yesterday to come over. But you know, I had to determine this a week ago because I preached this message in Escondido last Sunday, and I had to promise the Lord that I was going to follow through this week in doing this repentance. I promised these things. I've said I'll do them. I'll get around to it, and never got around to it. I almost have them all done, and I can come with a clear conscience that I have taken care of things that I have promised. I have let my yes be yes, finally, before the Lord and my wife. It's to change one's mind about our sin. It's to feel so remorseful and sorrowful and contrite over one's sin as to change or to decide to change one's way as a true conviction of the Holy Spirit. If that happens, you will be willing to genuinely humble yourself before God and before others, that no matter what it is you have to go back and take care of, you'll be willing to go take care of it because you want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be right with Him. You want to prove to those around you that Christ really does live within you. Second Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. That's what repentance is. It is purifying ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. Well, what is the fruit of repentance then? In Matthew 3:8 and Luke 3:8, we are told by the Lord to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. You see, repentance is not a one-time asking God to forgive you and then go on about your life. Repentance is a lifestyle. In the same way that faith is a lifestyle. You cannot just believe one time and you're in the kingdom. You've got to exercise that faith given by God every moment of your life. And you have to persevere right up to the last day. You can have what looks like faith, and if you don't persevere to the end, it was not saving faith. God has given us a life here on earth to determine whether our profession of faith is real or not. And that is only guaranteed by the Lord. It's not guaranteed to someone who witnessed to you. It's not guaranteed by myself or Pastor John or elders, deacons, or anyone else. It's only guaranteed by the Lord. And yet the Scripture says, make your election sure. Test yourselves to see if you really are of the faith. He is writing to believers to say, test to see if you're professing believers, to test to see if you really are in the faith. It's a completely new lifestyle. Matter of fact, with faith and repentance, it's almost, I'm reminded every time I hear Paul Harvey, who comes up with this great story, but then you got to come back 10 minutes later to hear the rest of the story, or maybe at noon he's going to tell the rest of the story to get you back then. But repentance is the rest of the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith without repentance is no gospel of Jesus Christ. You can believe, you can believe, you can believe until you die, but if you are not repenting of your sins, you do not have the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have another gospel. Well, what kind of things does fruit produce? It produces restitution. To take back what was stolen. To go back to someone you've offended, even if it was years ago and even if it was an unbeliever. Scripture doesn't say just get things right with each other as believers. We're to be seeking to be right with the unbeliever also. In doing so, you might be the one that the witness will take the gospel to that person that you are afraid to go talk to. Last Sunday we were having communion after my message, and so they wanted me to relay it to work into communion. And I got to thinking about the scripture that talks about if we're bringing our offering before the Lord, that if we have something against somebody or somebody has something against us, we have unresolved business somewhere, we should leave our gift to go get it taken care of and then give it to the Lord with a joyful heart. But how many of us have things that we need to get right and we still come and give our offerings? How many times do we come to communion and still have things we haven't dealt with and come and partake? We may even think, well, okay, I'm going to take care of it next week. And then the next time it's, oh, I'm going to take care of it next week. And then the month passes, a year passes, and we have those things that we haven't taken care of. I'm convinced from my own life and getting things straight with the Lord and with others in the past, that there was a sense where I almost felt unworthy to be a witness, one to present the gospel to others when I hadn't taken care of things myself. And after having taken care of those things, and now being right with my wife, I feel such a great relief to continue being the witness that God has called me to be. Well, what should we do? I believe that we should, before the Lord, if we've got things in our past, and I know of some that we've had in counseling that were under conviction about a piece of candy they stole out of a drugstore when they were a kid, and it still haunts them to think that I'm a believer and I was a thief back then. So what do I do? You know what store it was? Yes. You know what town it was in? Yes. Then why don't you put whatever that piece of candy was plus interest from all these years and put in an envelope, send them a letter telling them that you did this, you want to ask them for forgiveness. This is to make restitution, and if I owe you anything else, please send a letter back. Janet recalled one time that she was counseling somebody here, and all of a sudden it came back to her memory that she was in the Kaufman Warner store in Kearney, Nebraska when she was a kid, and she was looking at these little chain bracelets. And somehow or another, whether confusion with the family or whatever, she ended up having it on her arm, looking at it, and then went home with it, not realizing it until she got home with it that she had this bracelet on. And so she put it in her jewelry box, thinking that someday I got to go take it back. And she never did until just not too long ago. She wrote a letter to them and said, this is something that I took that I didn't mean to take, but I did though. And she put a $25 check in, sent it to them, hoping that would cover it. She got a great letter back, that just thanking her for her honesty, and it just, that nagging is gone. Those naggings are gone. You took care of them. I'm convinced that some of us are not the witness for the Lord Jesus Christ that we need to be, because we've got things we haven't repented of. We have not come straight with the Lord. He knows it. You aren't going to hide it from Him. He knows it. You can hide it from others, but He's the one you're going to have to give an account to on the day of judgment. Repentance is a change of mind. It is a change of emotions. It is a change of your will to do the will of the one who sent me. If you have been born again or truly a believer, the Holy Spirit should be prompting you to get those things taken care of. What a freedom you have if you'll do. The Lord Jesus Christ will give you the humility to take care of that. In conclusion, this is the real Christian life. And I, over so much counseling and discipleship and in my own life, I have come to the point to believe that many do not really believe this is real. It's almost like a fairy tale to people. It's like we're playing a game. We're in a story. But this is real. Those of us who are in Christ have been born again. It is Christ living within us. He is there. And through this last period of depression that I went through, I believe the Lord showed me something that I could have never learned any other place. That this is real. I poured my heart out to God to pull me out of it. And I woke up one morning and it was completely gone. And I cannot explain it other than God answered my prayer. This is real, brothers and sisters, and we need to be the witnesses that God would have us to be. Your neighbors need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it needs to come out of a repentant heart. You need to be reconciled with man and God, but getting reconciled with man is part of being reconciled with God. You see, faith plus repentance equals salvation. Just as faith is a gift from God, we all know Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. Faith is given to us. Amen? Repentance is another equal gift given to us by God. It is not you that is repenting. It's Christ in you that's repenting. It's the new you in Jesus Christ. And so if you're not repenting of your sins, there's something wrong. Because faith plus repentance equals salvation. genuine asking forgiveness plus repentance, which means following through with a plan to turn from your sin, equals reconciliation. So forgiveness with asking forgiveness without repentance is not reconciliation. Many times we want to just say, I'm sorry. We want to say, forgive me, so they'll get off my back so we can go on with life. One more day, at least one more day. But why not repent of it and have it behind you the rest of your life? All of this comes out of your identity. Can you say that it's not I that live, but Christ that lives within me? Galatians 2:20. Is your identity in Jesus Christ? Does your employees, fellow employees, your boss, your workers, your neighbors, do they know that you are a Christian and that you march to a different drum than they do? We march to a drum that's beating from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Luke for a moment. Luke 13, 3 and verse 5. This is spoken twice by our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, no. Let's start back at verse 2. Jesus answered, "Do not think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all of the other Galileans because they suffered this way. I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We all believe that. Equally so, without repentance, it is impossible to please God. Because we're a new creation. We're recreated to follow Him in faith. We were created to follow Him in repentance so that we might be reconciled. I ask you today, where is your repentance? And that's something for you to think about, to go home and think about. But I believe if we get serious with the Lord, with whatever it is, that you know it, it nags at you. And if you don't have anything nagging at you, praise God. But if it is, I encourage you to take care of it in whatever you have to do. If it's somebody in the past and you wonder, how can I ever get a hold of them? Well, I found a person on the internet. You know, you can plug people's names in. It's amazing what the websites will do anymore in finding people from the past. And if you've done everything you can to find that person and can't find them, then you have done everything that you possibly can, and you will know that. Let's again look at those passages there in 2 Corinthians 7, 8 through 11. Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while, yet now I am happy. Not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow leads to death. And where is your repentance? Is it a godly sorrow or is it a worldly sorrow? That is for you to determine. And that's passage of Scripture in Matthew 7:21 to 23 that the Lord says is something that's nagged me for years and years, and that's not all of those who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And it is His will that you believe by faith in Jesus Christ alone, and you follow it up with repentance unto life, that you might be saved. Let us pray. Our great God, as we look before you this morning, we really can't comprehend how holy of a God that you are. You don't have one speck of iniquity in you whatsoever. No sin. So pure and blameless. And as you became flesh and dwelled among us, you lived a perfect life with all the temptations that all of us go through, but yet without sin. And you did that so that we might have life in you. You knew that we had to be saved from our sin, not only Adam's, but our own sin. And our God, we will be eternally grateful. Lord, help each one of us to be right with others. Help us to be right with you. If we owe people money, help us to go to them and at least attempt to make payments to pay it back. If we've offended somebody, Lord, help us to find them and to get it straight as soon as possible. Our great God, you deserve all the honor and the glory. And we want to do everything to honor you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.